Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Know already that you're not going to probably pass them. They got you by 4.5 games.
Right.
So
Toronto's right there with 51 wins, I think.
Right, four back of Milwaukee, and even though the Bucks have had a spate of injuries, you think that they'll probably hold on to the top seed. Now navigating the playoffs in the East is a whole nother discussion, but who do you want the Warriors to face in the first round? 888-957-9570. Right now, the Clippers are the 5 seed, a half game ahead of Oklahoma City and Utah. The Spurs are a game back, and unfortunately, Jim, your Sacramento Kings now sit 6.5 out of the final playoff spot.
They're about to get hot, though.
With 9 to go, it's looking less and less likely that you'll be doing postseason pre and post. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but...
You're going
to
call that now?
I'm not going to call it. I'm not going to lock it up.
Are you going to prison bet that
one? Well, I would prison bet it, but you know, this is not the 916, so I'll keep it 415. I'll maybe dabble in the 707, which approaches your area.
Thank you.
But not quite the 916. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Jake and Hayward. He's talking playoff matchups. Good morning, Jake. You're on the game.
Hi, guys. Hello. Good morning. My name is Jake. I'm from Hayward. You know, I love this show. I listen to it every day. And I just wanted to talk about what I thought and who I thought the Warriors should face in the first round and why. I think in order for the Warriors to lose and for another team to win, it's all about star power. I think the team's going to have a star in order for them to win. And just going down the list, if you play the Spurs, they have LaMarcus Aldridge, who's killed us before, 40-point game. The other team would be the Oklahoma City Thunder. As Paul George is having a great night, Klay Thompson can be on him. He'll drop 40 to 50 points. It could happen. The next team is... I forgot what the next team is.
You got the Jazz, you got the Clippers.
Okay. Then one of the teams is the Portland
Jazz. You got Donovan Mitchell and the
Stifle Tower.
Yeah, you got the Stifle Tower.
Yeah.
The Clippers, I think you'd probably be Lou Williams off the bench.
Your number one vaunted threat, yeah.
That's your sniper.
Jake, thank you for the phone call.
Jake,
we appreciate
it. They're breakdowns and then they're Jake downs.
Yeah, and I appreciate the self intro after I introed him, the double intro. And he gave us a little bit of like the speech class. He kind of previewed his call. Thanks for having me, guys. Love the show. In this call, I'm going to give you 3 reasons why
I
don't think that the Clippers are the opponent. So,
Jake,
it was good.
You're welcome anytime, buddy. That's a good breakdown.
And that wasn't Jake from State Farm, by the way.
That was not?
No. Just wanted to.
What are you wearing, Jake?
Yeah. Tell me that's not the best.
Let's go to Matt in San Francisco. Matt's calling in on topic. Good morning, Matt. Self-introduce if you need to, but you're on 95.7 The Game.
This is jumping to have Matt.
Thank you.
I just want to say, you know, being that this, we all assume that this might be KD last year and the breakup, you know, might happen. Let's play the best, you know what I mean? Like from 1 all the way to 4 to win the NBA Finals. Let's not try to duck and try to get, you know what I mean, weak opponents, you know what I mean? So I want the Warriors to play the best of every round. So when they do it, we can talk about it in 20 years down the road. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, Matt. Who would be the best, in your opinion, of the Clippers, the Thunder, the Jazz, and the Spurs? Who would give them the toughest test and thereby fit your criteria the best?
The best, you got Houston, you got the Thunder, even the Jazz. You know what I mean? But the Spurs, I don't think the Spurs, the Spurs, when it comes to playoffs, they're going to lay egg. The Warriors just way too better for them. And, like I say, whoever's the best, that's who we're going to face. It don't really matter. You know what I mean? So the Warriors, they need the best to wake them up to play to at their highest level, you know, because it's going to be the last year.
Appreciate the call, Matt. Thank you. He's talking a little bit about contrived adversity, Jim, and the fact that this team needs adversity in order to come out and play hard.
It's interesting. He's already thinking about, you know, the breakup of the dominance. You know, this could be the end of it. Does that weigh into any of it on the fan side? Are fans looking at this? I know it's the last year of Rorikel. Are they looking at it like this is the last chance we're going to get to see super greatness? They're going to be excellent. At worst, they're going to be excellent. But what we're seeing is otherworldly. Are fans kind of thinking this is going to be the end of what we're about to, of the most prolific team of its era? Like when the Bulls were the most prolific team of its era, and then it was winding down, they got rid of everybody, it was over. Here, are we getting close to that belief?
I think so.
From the last call.
And it feels like it, not only because of the KD questions and all of the back and forth we've gone through all year, but also the idea that they're leaving Oracle. So an era is going to end, we know that. Whether or not the dynasty ends, that's a whole separate point altogether. Lo, it seems like the door may be closing on this dynasty. Is it a front door or is it a screen door? If KD leaves, will this team still be a championship threat? We know they won't be favorites, but can they still be a threat?
Well, I remember Dibs back in the year 1989. I was looking at Oklahoma, and Barry Switzer sat down with me. He said, "What's right? Red and white. What's a young man's dream? Wear that Clemson and cream." And my father, Big Glenn, said, "That door's closed." So
even it wasn't a screen door, was it?
No, it was a hard fist. Big Glenn gave me and he locked it up. He said, "You're not going to Oklahoma." So he didn't care about sooner born, sooner bred, going to be a sooner to the day I'm dead.
Why?
He wanted me to stay close to home.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, so he said, "I got that Bulldog spirit up in my head, down in my toes, deep in my heart. Bulldog born, Bulldog bred, going to be a Bulldog the day I'm dead instead of sooner born, sooner bred." So when you say one door closes, another door opens. So I really believe, yes, it is closing, but another one will open.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Great.
Would Oklahoma have let you wrestle too?
Yeah, I was going to get a wrestling scholarship for football. That's how good I was.
I know. I understand
no,
you.
No,
were, no,
no,
I'm
no,
saying
I,
that.
I'm,
but
yeah,
was,
no, no, no.
Was he going to let? Because Oklahoma Sooner football is a little different than Fresno State football. That's fair to say.
It is, but
would they have let you wrestle?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So Barry Switzer said yes, and Coach Abels was the wrestling coach. So they were going to give me a scholarship, either one, and I wanted.
He was that good. Outside of a guy named Mark Trice out of San Ramon Valley High School, he's probably the best wrestler.
Home of the Wolves.
Yeah, we'll get into Mark Trice memories.
That is so wrong right now. Everything about this.
Marvin Eastman. Do we need? I mean, the guy Lowe lost like 3 times in high school. We've interviewed one of the guys. We know the other guy. We've worked really hard to expose the fact that is that right? 3 losses?
Jim
you lost
Coase,
3 times?
Jim Coase, I was 42-0 with 38 pins my senior year. I'm sorry, Dibs. We're all out of time.
Yeah, there's always time for a Mark Trice reference on this program.
Wow.
We had him on Rivalry Week a long time ago.
Come on, we got to get to the next break.
Yeah, we do, Lo. In fact, we do. Coming up on the other side, more details on how you can qualify to win a golden ticket, a ticket to every home Warriors playoff game, and we'll examine the KD post-game comments. Is there something to it or not? That's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
That's James keeping it funky on the re-intros. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs. Nice guy Steven in for Cody. We're running with the twos on a Monday.
What's going on there?
Running with the twos, baby.
Unbelievable. Twos are holding them up.
The twos are doing pretty well.
Twos have had better days.
You know, we're hanging in there. It is Joe Lowe and Dibs. Joe Fortenbaugh is...
Jim Fortenbaugh.
Jim Fortenbaugh also off today, as is Jack Fortenbaugh and Jerry Fortenbaugh. And Joe Fortenbaugh. We do want to give you...
Mount Fortenbaugh.
Quick details on the golden ticket... The Golden Ticket Contest with a T, Anna. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
You said
yes.
Ticket?
Yes.
Starting
that, Anna?
Golden Ticket.
Okay.
Okay. We give you a little mulligan. Starting Monday, April 1st, we're giving you 3 chances each day to text, tweet, or call to qualify for a pair of tickets to win every single Warriors home playoff game. A pair of tickets to every single Warriors home playoff game. Tune in at 7:25, 7:30. And 7:35 for your chance to qualify to win what, Anna?
A golden ticket.
Is it a golden ticket?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Kagadakis.
Thank you.
Helping us out with the promo. Up in 10 minutes, Jim Barnett will get his thoughts on the disaster from Saturday and the impressive bounce back from Sunday. We'll also ask him the question we put out to the callers, 888-957-9570. your first-round playoff opponent. Who do you want to see? Do you want the road to be easy to have them save energy? Or like our previous caller last segment, do you want to see a tough road to validate this dynasty? 888-957-9570.
That was interesting. The last caller who said, I want them to play the best of the best because I want this thing to go out. It's going to be different next year. Go out beating the best. I'm not sure I always want that. Like if I had my perfect opponent, it would be the Phoenix Suns.
Right, you just know? To make sure you advance.
Yeah, just keep it going. Keep moving. But I guess when you're the best, I guess you don't, maybe, you know what, maybe they're not worried about that. Maybe the Warriors don't look at the standings and they say, you know what, we just need to be playing our best basketball. Whoever shows up that night at the gym, when we're playing our best basketball, doesn't really matter.
I think that's the sentiment for the most part internally, but I think from a fan standpoint, it would be nice to have a few more, quote, rorical moments, because right now, what's happened at home this season, 26-11 at home, it's still a good record.
Then let's change the equation. Who do you want to beat? Who, if you want to make this a memorable run, who do you want to beat? Do you want to beat James Harden again to make sure you absolutely assure the dominance? Or do you want to stay away from that as long as you possibly can?
888-957-9570. That's an interesting question. Lo, if you saw a Warrior team go up against OKC, Houston, and Denver, probably the three toughest teams in the conference, would that sort of run help to bolster your feelings about this dynasty, or does it not matter?
Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
The playoffs to me, Daniel, wouldn't be considered a success, or I wouldn't be getting my full gratification if we didn't see the Rockets. I know Joe doesn't want to see them. They've had their shot, and everyone's talked about that. For me, I'm on the other equation. I'm on the side of the cookie here. Because to me, Jim, I look at this team. They've beaten the Warriors several times this year. James Harden, the winning bucket at the end to win it at Oracle. Then James Harden doesn't play and you still get motorboated. Yes, you won in Houston. But for me, I would love to see it again because I want all the naysayers. There's a lot of people out there and I don't know if we say it, but we do bring it up and it's always brought up. If Chris Paul stays healthy, does the Warriors win that championship last year?
I say no. I think the Rockets win.
And that's the narrative. And that's a lot of you know what? You're not the only one in the church. You're not by yourself. I think you have a huge congregation. And someone may be sitting on your lap because it may be a packed house. If people really, really would do some soul searching and find out deep within them, would that had happened if Chris Paul plays? So in my opinion and what I would love to see the Rockets again for that reason.
Yeah. I think I'd like to see them. I think I'd like who do I want to beat?
That's a team that I want to beat.
Now, that's a team I want to beat. I want to beat the Spurs.
It doesn't have to be the first round.
I think it's easier to eliminate the teams you don't necessarily want to see. For me, it's Portland. I think that they've been so dominant over Portland in the postseason. I would rather not see that.
I don't want to see Utah.
The Spurs matchup, I've kind of seen enough of San Antonio, and Utah would probably be the other team. So you look at the remaining teams. Thunder, Clippers, Rockets, Nuggets. Those, to me, are more entertaining matchups.
Right.
Teams will get up and down. And
I'll give you that.
You'd like to see the Russell Westbrook angle as far as, you know, how do they handle him? How do they cuff him around a little bit? He's always had such a meteoric time against Golden State. That's one I would love to see as well.
I'll give you that. In fact, if you could get the Clippers in round one, because I just think it would be a good matchup. If you could get the Thunder, that's another great storyline. And I know he's been back a bunch of times with the KD Oklahoma City thing. That would be an important thing. And to me, the Rockets. I'd like to see the Rockets in the Western Conference Final. And it sounds like it's just hitting a repeat button, but
they're excited. They match.
That's
up.
Exciting.
It really is. And I'm sorry, 408. I agree with you. In 15 years,
on the Chilton Autobody text line 95795.
Thank you, Daniel. No one's gonna. In 15 years, you're right. He didn't play, so I get that people will say CPT wasn't there, Chris Paul wasn't there. So I do understand that. But right now, since I'm living in the now, sir, with all due respect,
I might not be here in 15.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. 888-957-9570. 845. We'll examine Kevin Durant's strange weekend. 9 of 25. On Saturday, 5 of 6 on Sunday. Is that offensive differential something to be concerned about? Somebody in this room seems to think so. Jim Barnett joining us in 5 minutes. Right now we go to Big Dave in San Leandro.
Oh,
good morning,
Big Dave.
Big Dave. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. First off, Mo'Neal, impressive senior year wrestling career. I just remember they're asking you maybe a couple months back if you would stick, you know, going to the NFL, or would you prefer going to WWE? I'm thinking now, man, you should have went to the WWE. You would have come up during that whole Attitude Era, probably would have been friends with The Rock, probably been in some movies. Anyway.
You're terrible. You're on fire right now. I see that. That was a low blow. Shot fired. Shot fired. I got you, son.
Any blow at you is technically a low blow. But anyway.
I get that.
Bring it home, Big Dave.
You
lost me at pro wrestling.
The last thing we want is an easy path to the finals. In the past, Cleveland, it wasn't too difficult for them to get there. This year, the East is loaded. I would prefer to see the Dubs face off against OKC, Houston, the Nuggets, and then face one of these great teams in the East. I think we need to be battle-tested in order to be prepared for that. And then in terms of the end of the dynasty, everyone keeps talking about, obviously, you know, hardcore fans, there's anxiety, we're afraid it might break up, but I swear, if we win this championship, there's no way this thing breaks up, especially when they move to San Francisco. So my guess is win another championship, keep KD, and then we'll see a couple more championships in San Francisco. And I'm out.
Thank you, Big Dave, and a great uptick. Almost jumped in and stepped on it. I'm glad you were able to bring it home like that. I think that he makes a good point, Jim, and if they do win three in a row and KD decides to stay or KD decides to leave, it doesn't really have that much of a bearing on where they are as a team.
I'll be interested at the whole dynasty level of discussion that we're going to end up having once the Warriors win another championship, and I'm sitting in my lawn chairs on Broadway in Oakland enjoying it the whole time. What will our drink of choice be? Because last year, what was the drink of choice last year? What was the one that they ran into? They grabbed a little Henny. They're grabbing some Henny.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, they were running out, and they're grabbing Henny from the fans.
You can have whatever you like. Patron on ice. There's a little Patron, too, and Henny. They were getting it all in.
So we're going to be having our fun, but then the conversation's really going to go. What is the dynasty going to look like? Is it going to continue the way it is? And if not, what do the Warriors have cooked up for what the next layer of dynasty is going
Joey
to look
Lightyears,
like?
You know he's already Joey thinking Lightyears. About it. And I think Daniel in Oakland, who was called in, has got a great sense for exactly where the dynasty is, if in fact they do get three in a row. Daniel in Oakland coming in on time and on topic. Good morning. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Div. Thanks for taking my call. In terms of who we play, the reality is if you win a three-peat, you are a dynasty. Everyone wants to see good basketball. But even if we have the easiest schedule, the whole playoff run is going to be a dynasty. The dynasty. So in terms of validating the dynasty, it's done if we three-peat.
I would almost argue that it's there.
Thank you for the call, Daniel.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
If they somehow don't win the title this year, the question of is it a dynasty definitely gets thrown up in the air, I believe.
If they lose this year, they get into the discussion with the Miami Heat for being...
Not a disappointment,
Not a disappointment, but not achieving what we assume they should have.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I think that they still stay above Miami from the what-if category because they've already won 3 and 4. So
that's pretty good.
It's pretty darn good. PDG, pretty darn good, if I may say so myself. Now, 4 and 5 obviously is next level, especially when you go 3 in a row.
Yep.
But if it ends up being 3 and 5, and people said this about the San Francisco Giants, oh, is it a dynasty if you didn't even win 2 in a row, you won 3 and 5, I think people threw out that question for the Giants, and similarly, you could throw that out about the Golden State Warriors as well.
A little bit of apples oranges there, because in baseball, you never really have the dominant team for a number of years. That's why I would clearly make the Giants a team that was a dynasty. Basketball, you tend to have multiple championships. When teams win them, they win a couple. They're in the hunt for a couple. In fact, I think it's only been, you go back through the most recent list, there are very few, like the Cavs are a one and done. Who else was the one? Going back to the 80s, the Sixers
Dallas
were
Mavericks,
one and
the team Dallas that beat Mavericks the Miami Heat, for example.
But other than that, you've got some multiples in there. And that's, but it, to me, they're a dynasty. There's no question. I just wonder what the next version of dynasty is.
And it's simple. I look at it this situation. If they lose this year, they're still a dynasty. Because you got to look at what they've done over the last 5 years. And if they come back next year and win, they're still a dynasty.
4 and 6, yeah, and it would continue.
Right.
I think to Jim's point, though, if they fell short this year, whether or not KD stays or KD goes, it'll be seen as a bit of a disappointment, being so heavily favored and to fall short, it would be quite a letdown. Well, Jim Barnett is sponsored by Midbay Ford. Check them out at midbayford.com and find out just how much they are ready to deal. Jim Barnett joins us right now. It's Joe Lo and Dibs. Jim Cosimore in for Joe Fortenbaugh. And Jim, quite a interesting weekend with a blowout loss on Saturday and an impressive bounce back win on Sunday. How do you summarize the two games that you saw out there at Oracle?
Well, they were night and day difference, I'll tell you that. I was very disappointed in the game on Saturday night against Dallas. I know Dallas was, all these guys are hitting threes and stuff, but the Warriors were just never in the game and they never had a run in them. And it was very disappointing. And we've seen them do this before. We saw them do it with Phoenix, but then they go on a road trip and have a lot of success against, better teams and so forth. So it was redemption last night. I was really glad to see that response, and I didn't know how they were going to respond. It's just right now it's I feel a little pressure on the team. There's so much talk about them. They've been to the finals four straight years. You know, they've won the last two championships. They've added DeMarcus Cousins, and now they've got Andrew Bogut. All these different things. The bench has been at times not very reliable. They were great last night. So and now you're deciding who you're going to play in the playoffs and all that kind of stuff, or who's it going to be. And it's, there's a lot of pressure there. There's a lot of pressure. And it's like Steve Kerr has always said, it's difficult. He uses the word difficult. It's hard. It's hard to come back. It's a challenge all the time. And you can see this, no question about it, the Warriors are, the most offensive-minded team and talented, I think, of all the teams. They have three players who are in the top 20 in scoring, and most of the year, Curry and Durant have been in the top five. So there are no excuses at all, but I've been disappointed in the play. Their play at home a lot this year. It hasn't been as good, but I'm just – Maybe we're just going to wait and see, and they're going to turn it on in the playoffs like they've done before.
Hey, Jim, what do you make of Kevin Durant's six-shot night? He has 11 assists. He's minus seven as a plus-minus. What do you make of the Warriors when Durant is only squeezing the trigger six times?
I was a little surprised last night, but he was just managing the game, and he was being a playmaker. What did he get, 11 assists last night? And so... I don't know. I still think that losing his friend in a murder in a violent situation that's been bothering him over the weekend. Obviously, it has. And of course, he's a naturally quiet guy. He's a little aloof. It's hard to figure out Kevin Durant. I think it's difficult to get close to Kevin. I've never tried because it's not my job to do so. And I think it is a big speculation to try to read into his body language and what he's doing. But last night he did pass up a lot of shots, and I think the Warriors controlled the game from start to finish. They got off to a good start from Stephen Curry initially, and so they never really looked back. They were threatened a few times, and every time they met a challenge, it'd be a Klay Thompson basket or a Stephen Curry basket or Draymond Green basket or someone. And so they played really hard last night. But as far as Durant, it's difficult to speculate on where he is, what he's thinking. I just know he played a terrific game last night all around, and that's all I can tell you.
Jim, it seems like with Kevin Durant, he's darned if he does and darned if he doesn't. If you think about last year, some of the playoff games, they said Kevin Durant, they're dependent on him too much. He's shooting the ball too much. It's iso ball. Now last night, he distributes, he's passing up shots. He's, to pass and get guys involved. What is the balance for this team? We understand Kevin Durant, he can take over. What is the balance for Kevin Durant for the media and everyone to lay off? What does the guy need to do?
I think it goes from game to game. Now, if you look at all the shot attempts through the year, of the big three scorers, they're pretty even in field goal attempts per game. And they're anywhere, I believe, from 15 to 18 shots somewhere in there by all three of them. We're talking Thompson and Durant and Curry. And so I think they blended in pretty doggone well. But obviously, at times, Durant has taken over because he needed to take over. We've seen him do that in the finals. And when he's in one of those modes, he's been the MVP in the finals the last couple of years. So, he could play a hardened game if he wanted and take, 34 shots a night. But it's not going to work because you don't need to do that with this team. And this team is better when they move the basketball and the defensive team doesn't know where the shot's going to come from, who it's going to come from. And then you've got a little more element of surprise and makes it very, very difficult to defend. Now, I've noticed this since DeMarcus Cousins has been with the club. He likes to score. And so sometimes everybody has to take a back seat to him, and they throw the ball into him. It depends on the matchup. Cousins is really effective if you're playing against OKC and Steven Adams or Nikola Jokic in Denver, because he absolutely neutralized Jokic and the entire starting five there. Bogut adds a different twist because he's not looking to go make a lot of points, and he sets a lot of screens up top. You can see last night that Thompson worked off him. Stephen Curry works off him. They're used to that. He knows he's smart. He'll give the ball back to him. A little wrinkle that we haven't seen before. So it's a different dynamic with everybody out there. And also the Warriors are going to, they're going to feed a hot hand, whoever gets going. If Klay Thompson gets going, they're going to look for him. But I can't figure the team out. I look at them and say, yeah, this is a team that should win 70 games if they really put their minds to it. But it's impossible to do that because it's too hard to do that through the regular season. When they did that in 173, they lost that year. A lot of different circumstances, of course, with Draymond getting suspended for game five, and also Andrew Bogut got hurt in that game. People they kind of forget that in the finals back in 2016. But I don't know. I'm just holding on and going to see where the ride takes us. But I do know this: you have no idea who you're going to play, because it's an incredible race when you talk about OKC, Utah, the Clippers, and San Antonio. And so I think it's good and best to finish first in the West. I don't think they're going to catch Milwaukee. But if you can get the top seed in the West, but that doesn't mean you're going to get a quote unquote easier team in the eighth seed, because you could get actually a more difficult matchup in the eighth seed. Houston's not going to slip that far, and Portland's not. But the first round matchup is going to be a tough one if you're talking whether it's OKC, Utah, Clippers, or San Antonio.
Jim Barnett here on 95.7 The Game. Following up on that then, Jim, which opponent would scare you the most? Is it the great coaching of Greg Popovich and the Spurs, the altitude, electricity of Utah, Oklahoma City, and a tough cover in Russell Westbrook, or a Clipper team that refuses to go away?
Yeah, the Clippers have been coming on very strongly, but the Warriors seem like to me they can handle. First of all, they're not going to be afraid of anyone. They'll be prepared, and they go into that. I have to say, you've got to go play the games. No one's going to give it to you. They handled Oklahoma City very well last time in OKC. They've beaten Utah 2 out of 3 times this year, but Utah still, they scare me when if Rudy Gobert gets going, and that's why I'm glad that they have Bogut and Cousins to at least temper that a little bit. But I don't know who's – I know this. They're very well coached in San Antonio. The Warriors, that's the one game they didn't win on the road. But I think they're going to rise to the occasion and be ready to play those teams. But it's probably the toughest first-round matchup you could ever see in the last obviously, in this, and if you want to call this last run here, in the dominance that they've shown over the last 4 or 5 years now. This is going to be the toughest first-round matchup that they've ever had.
Jim, with 10, inside of 10 games now left for the Warriors, can you compare where they're at as a team now heading towards the playoffs with some of the past Warrior teams and where they were heading towards the playoffs? Are you seeing similarities? Is this one a one-off where it's completely different to you and you don't know how to gauge them? Because we've seen some great runs, but I'd like to know how they prepare to get ready for the toughest part of the year, which is April through June.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Wow, that's interesting.
Your guess is as good as mine. We do know last year they didn't finish on a winning note at all, and they had a losing record. I don't know, the last 10, 15 ball games. They slumped a little bit, and I believe they got beaten by the last game of the season. Did they get beaten by Utah by about 30 or 40 or something in Utah? I'm trying to think if they did. I think
yeah, it was 40, Jim, in fact.
Was it 40? Really? Well, there you go. So it's similar to last year. It's very, very different than 2015 and 2016, obviously, and 2017. So I don't know. I can't get a feel on them this year. I really can't, because it goes up and down, and recently it's gone up and down. So I have to believe and hope, of course, that they're going to come around and turn it on. But it's been an up and down ride. I was very impressed the way they responded after losing to Phoenix and came back, and I thought they played extremely well on the road, even against San Antonio, even though they lost that game. They were in that game. They just couldn't get over the hump. So I love what they did. We'll see what happens on this is a two-game road trip. You play two games over 4 days, so they're going to get some rest there against Memphis, go back to Minnesota, and then we'll see when they come back home. But I know that they've lost a lot of games at home this year that it's kind of surprised me. You know, more than ever before, but it's hard for me to get a beat on the team. I do not know. I just think that they have a bigger perspective of it, and they're not worried about losing games now and then. It doesn't get to them, and they believe in themselves that they're going to come all together. But I'll tell you this, I will say this: you got to have Stephen Curry healthy, because I really think that he's someone that provides them a little some energy. He's a catalyst, not just what he does on the floor as far as points and all that. I just think his presence, he's a terrific stabilizing influence for them.
Without a doubt, Jim, and you made that point yesterday in the pregame, and it was absolutely cogent, and I think you're on the money. Well, travel safe, Jim. Enjoy Memphis and Minnesota, and we'll see you back home for Charlotte and Denver as we wrap up the schedule, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, and we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yes, indeed. Jim Barnett, thank you for joining us here on 95.7 The Game. He talked about the road or the home struggles, 26-11 at home, low. Only four more home games. Up in a couple of minutes, we get to number five on our countdown of the top 10 moments in the history of Oracle Arena.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to number five here. I know we got like 2 minutes before we get there. I think the listeners can't wait. You do such an amazing job. But Jim gave me a little, some reason for concern. If you listen to him, he's like, guys, your guess is as good as mine. I can't figure out this team. I don't know what they're going to do. I understand how much pressure that's on this team and what's riding here. And it was kind of like, wow, is Jim saying this team is it trouble? I mean, I know Cozy's kind of what you've been alluding to, but man, do we look at this team as problems because of the inconsistency? You know what? So it was just interesting listening to someone that follows the team, that's close to the team, that travels with the team, that's around them, and kind of got a heartbeat and kind of a sense. It's just interesting perspective by Jim Barnett.
And I wonder if it waits until the playoffs for them to, quote, flip the switch, or if they don't start to try to do that ahead of time, Jim, because you're down to the final nine games, five on the road, four at home. You're still playing for the number one seed, but more importantly, you're trying to play to get to where you have your mojo when you head into mid-April and these playoffs actually start.
That's why when I brought up he only took six shots about Kevin Durant, that's why I said if you want to get your mojo, is that getting you your mojo? Or do you want to get into just a certain form of what you look like once the playoffs begin? I hope last night's a one-off. I hope this isn't a new version of Durant that he plays out for the final nine games, because I like to see him being the aggressive sniper that he can be, and I think the Warriors are at their best when that happens. So final nine games, if you want to look for a reason to watch, it's obvious one seed in the West, and it's obvious are they playing their best basketball as they hit the playoffs.
Up in 5 minutes, we'll hear from Kevin Durant as it pertains to his, shall we say, light night shooting the basketball. He addressed it post-game last night as he took just six shots in the Warriors' victory over Detroit. But right now, gentlemen, it's 8:45. We had a home game yesterday, so we want to continue our countdown of the top 10 moments in the history of Oracle Arena. And for that, we need a little bit of music, please. And now! Apparently that was pretty loud last week when I was on vacation. For that, I apologize posthumously, even though I'm still alive. I'm not yet dead.
Wow,
Jim.
I know. Announcing your own death on air is a feat.
Yes, it's breaking news. When it happens, I had it first.
Oh, that's somebody with a casket slappy over here.
Without a doubt, my good friend.
I wouldn't do that.
Although team cremation, in light of our
yes, we are.
Yeah, we probably should start this over for a clean feed.
Please
kill the music.
Over.
Let's rack it back, guys. We've reached the top 10 moments in the history of Oracle Arena. We've gotten to number 5. Just 4 home games left, but for yesterday's game, we revisit the countdown. And for that, James, how about some Take 2 music? And Jim, for the number 5 memory as we counted down the top 10 moments in the history of Oracle Arena. For this, we go back to January 23rd, 2015. The Warriors hooked up with the Sacramento Kings in another meaningless regular season game that suddenly turned meaningful after the intermission.
It is 13 for 13, 9 of 9 outside the arc, and now 1-of-1 from the free throw line.
It's
here he goes.
NBA record for a quarter.
Klay Thompson shoots. He's got 50. Ball inbounded. Sessions at midcourt. Warriors up 24. Sessions back to Williams. He won't get it off in time. And listen to the crowd roar for Klay Thompson. At halftime, Klay Thompson had 13 points. He was 3 of 9 from the floor. 12 minutes later, he's got 50. And Klay Thompson checking out. And listen to this response. Standing ovation at Oracle as Williams buries a couple of free throws. So Klay will leave with a 52-point night.
The big line, though, 37 points in the third quarter. The Warriors beat the Kings 126-101, an NBA record for 37 points in a quarter. He finished with 52. Jim, the interesting part of that is he didn't score until there was 9.5 minutes left in that third quarter. He put up 37 points in 9.5 minutes against a bewildered Kings team.
It was unbelievable, right? It was truly one of the most fabulous NBA moments to watch what happened in that quarter. Just insane. And it was really at the point of Warrior fandom where you were continuing your love affair with the team. So this was just another step along the way. Individual efforts that happened during that early courtship of when they were rising to greatness. That's a great chapter in the entire Warriors story, and it was one heck of a night to watch.
In the year that culminated in the title, 2015, of course, the Warriors winners in 18, 16, and 15, and that Klay Thompson night kind of gave rise to the whole idea of the Claymaker game, because when he gets hot, he can score in greater bunches than virtually any player that we've seen. Lo, do you remember that 37-point quarter, and do you remember just the amount of disbelief at just how good he was?
I think everyone, when Klay Thompson took over that game and the way that he went about it, that 37 points quarter, they were amazed. The way that everyone's mouth was like, are we watching this? I cannot believe what we just witnessed. 37 in a quarter. I mean, hell, Dibs, Coase, teams don't even score that in a quarter. That's a friggin' unbelievable quarter, but absolutely any Warrior family remembers that.
Can I ask just a quick question on your list of 10?
Please.
Your 10 moments. What is the era that it spans? Is this all time?
It is all time at Oracle Arena.
Okay.
And you think back to Rick Barry winning a championship for the Warriors. That didn't happen at Oracle Arena.
No, it did not.
Which is why that was omitted. One game that I'm regretting, and I'm spoiler alert, this is not going to make the list, but my brother Doug won the state championship game at the Oakland County Coliseum, 1982.
There's got to be some type of addendum to the list.
I may
then
throw it in as also receiving votes. Steve Lavin on that team, as well as Jim Saya, Dan Hunt, Steve Kettlevort, who was drafted by the Warriors out of Santa Clara. It's a super team, and the game that followed my brother's game was Cheryl Miller playing for the state championship.
One of the greatest of all time.
And I remember as an eighth grade ball boy being on the sideline, you know, doing my thing for my brother's team, walking off the court, exuberant that they'd won the championship, and turning to my left and seeing Cheryl Miller, 6'2", basically gliding to the rim and all but dunking, and thinking I'd never in my life seen a female athlete of that size, scope, and grace before. I'll never forget it.
Didn't Reggie used to troll the Blacktops of wherever they grew up. And he would try to get, he'd sucker guys into saying, hey,
yeah,
yeah, like two on, it was like two on two.
Take on me and my sister.
Yeah, it was one of those. It was kind of like the guy at the pool hall who's just like, yeah, you guys, I've never really played this game. And then he's right. like running the table.
Right. Right.
He would like troll guys for money. He said they used to make big money doing that. Hey, me and my sister are looking for a game. You guys want to play? No one realized what Cheryl Miller could do. It was pretty funky. It was pretty good stuff. I got to ask you this, though.
Please.
In the pantheon of Dibs, if you look at ball boy for championship game, brother involved Cheryl Miller. If you look at Emmy Award-winning play-by-play broadcaster, featured performer in a Robin Williams film.
Yeah.
How do you rank those?
It's tough.
We got to have a Mount Rushmore of Dib moments.
Yeah.
Those certainly would be among them. Birdieing number 8 at Pebble Beach, chipping in for birdie on the toughest par 4 in the world.
Wow.
That's up there as well.
But it's got
to
be.
Just being able to be around my brother's team. They were undefeated, 35-0. To be around that level of greatness as a young boy, an eighth grader. That molded me more as a sports fan and as, you know, a future coach, probably than any other collection of experiences.
You're a Forrest Gump of Bay Area broadcasters.
I've seen a lot, Jim.
You have.
And the Emmy thing was, you know, I shanked you.
Shanks for the redemption.
That's a classic Shanks for the gig, by the way. Did 1 year, and I kind of stumbled into that. And
but still, you won an Emmy for it.
But the reason why we won an Emmy, and it was the entire production crew, it was Mark Wolfson, who you know, producer.
Yes.
It was David Feldman, the unbelievable producer. Wolfson, the director. It was the camera operators. It was the whole team. So I played a very small part in
humble.
That.
Don't be humble.
I will be humble.
Don't be humble.
Because if it wasn't for Shea Salinas and Alan Gordon, none of that even matters. So I just happened to bear witness to it, and I kind of gravy trained one. But the Robin Williams thing was a whole nother can of worms.
When you stole a scene from Robin Williams.
Yes, and I stole a job from you.
Huh.
And I actually remember I didn't steal soda.
Who did you shank for that eighth grade ball boy job?
Well, it's funny because they actually had a high school senior who was the official quote team manager, but because my brother
was a star,
he wasn't a star. He was a starter, and the coach's son was one of my best friends,
yeah.
Mike Hayward, who went to Washington. He was 6'2 at the time, eighth grader.
Oh, wow.
About 4'6". So he and I kind of had this Mutt and Jeff routine worked out where he and I also were on the bench. So stole that gig, shanked for the Earthquakes job,
yep.
And swooped in on Robin Williams'
you did.
Scene. So.
You steal that. For anyone who has not seen it, it's in the Flubber movie, correct?
Yeah.
And you actually steal the scene because didn't you do something the director told you not to do to get a little more extra?
There was some overacting that took place.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, you gotta,
there were some camera
you
looks.
You gotta freaking tell me what happened.
It was not overacting. Yeah. Reacting.
Yes. It was overacting. I was charged to give water and towels to the guys in a scene where we call timeout as we're cutting into a 54-point halftime deficit, and yeah. Our star player discovers he's got flubber on his shoes, and he starts to pick the thumbtacks off. Robin Williams rushes in to say, no, you know, just trust what you're doing out there. Stick to the plan. And I'm passing out water and you see me leaning over the crowd and all but looking at the camera.
Yes.
It's pretty embarrassing.
It's outstanding. It's outstanding.
Try to get me some FaceTime, Lo.
You have
FaceTime. But
still
that's,
getting residual checks off that movie?
No, actually, no.
Because I'll rent it with the family tonight if it'll get you a couple
absolutely
extra.
Watch it, but I get no taste.
All right.
No taste. And there's some off-air insights I'll share with you later about
how
that all went south on me. But that's neither here nor there. 888-957-9570.
Oh,
they kept telling me, oh, one more day of shooting. Two more days. I had 4 jobs at the time. And I'm trying to, you know, get fill-ins for all these other jobs. Finally, I said, you know what? Forget it. I'm not doing your little movie thing anymore. I'm out.
He's already.
I walked.
He walks off a movie set. He's like,
walked.
You know what? You and De Niro. It's like you and De Niro just walk off and stop the production.
Oh my God.
So there's two or three shots where when they cut to the bench quickly, it's not me anymore. They had a different bench player number 11 fill in.
Really?
Oh.
Apologies to Bobino casting here in San Francisco, but I had to walk you off.
Exactly.
I had 4 jobs, coach. I was coaching freshman girls basketball. We're practicing at 6 a.m. and I'm missing practices.
Oh.
Missing the big game against Terra Linda.
Well, that's loyalty.
You couldn't have found a parent to help you out, just coach a couple of days for me. Hey, I'm in a big film.
It was a 3-week shoot, and then now they're stretching me into week 4. It was a big ass, Jim.
But and what more would you have done if you would have been able to stick it out? Is there
nothing?
A lot?
Stood there and clapped. Although and been background, deep background.
We haven't even begun to scratch the surface of your body of work when you put in a curb appeal. When your appearance on Curb Appeal as well, you were the star of Curb Appeal.
My wife was the star of Curb Appeal. She really brought it home.
You're a featured performer in that?
Yes, recipient of a remodel. So
not to mention your spin on a little show called Wheel.
Yeah.
Yes, and Price. You've been on it. Whatever.
Just Wheel of Fortune. No Price is Right. Okay. No Price is Right. But I got my eyes on another one coming up.
So.
You can't reveal it yet. We're back channeling.
When will we know?
I'll let you know if I get the audition. If I get booked on the show.
Let me ask you: is it King's pre and post game on NBC California?
Yeah,
because you've been known to stick the nine. Exactly. I'm not going to turn my back.
James Hamm and I, a couple of redheads, dueling redheads,
ginger on ginger.
888-957-9570. We'll get into the KD stuff here at the top of the hour on whether or not KD should have shot more. He has some comments that he made post game as well. This from Matt Maiocco on Twitter. John Lynch confirms the 49ers will have pre-draft visits with Josh Allen, Nick Bosa, Rashawn Gary of Michigan, and Quinnen Williams. So, Lo, of those four, if you could have your pick, and I don't see Kyler Murray on there, obviously, those four, Allen, Bosa, Gary, and Quinnen, who do you like the most?
Bo.
What happened?
He was thinking about it.
I was doing my pause. You know how I do the my long pause in between. But anyway, I think that it's going to be Nicky Bosa. I think that we all understand who that's going to be. And I think if that doesn't happen, if he's gone at number one, and if Josh Allen's there and Quentin is there, I really believe they'll take Quentin. If Nick Bosa some way is gone at one, and the remaining guys is Josh Allen.
So the Kyler Murray thing's kind of right now is a smokescreen. We think Arizona's trying to trump it up. They really want Bosa. Okay, go ahead. That could very well be true.
If that happens, then I'm just saying that they're taking Quentin. They're taking Quentin, no question.
Here's my deal on that, and I by no means am going to try to lie to everybody and say, yeah, I broke down all the tape from all four of these guys. But in reading the people who do that, Bosa might go before Williams. Williams might have the better NFL career.
It's interesting, especially in light of what you saw Aaron Donald do with the Rams. All of a sudden now the interior defensive lineman stock is rising higher than it has in years past, in part because I think the way Aaron Donald wrecked shop. Well, coming up, we're going to hear from Kevin Durant, his comments on his six-shot night, and he's going to ask you if any of you have a problem with it, and we'll let you know that somebody in this room does. It's Joe Lo and Dibs. More back in a second here on 95.7 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.